All right, let's take our Bibles tonight and go to 1 Samuel chapter 12 to start with. 1 Samuel chapter 12. We'll start in verse 16. We'll read verses 16 down through 25. So 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 16 down through verse 25. Now therefore, stand and see this great thing which the Lord will do before your eyes. Is it not wheat harvest today? I will call unto the Lord, and he shall send thunder and rain, that ye may perceive and see that your wickedness is great, which ye have done in the sight of the Lord in asking you a king. So Samuel called unto the Lord, and the Lord sent thunder and rain that day. And all the people greatly feared the Lord and Samuel. And all the people said unto Samuel, pray for thy servants unto the Lord thy God, that we die not, for we have added unto all our sins this evil to ask us a king. And Samuel said unto the people, fear not, ye have done all this wickedness, yet turn not aside from following the Lord, but serve the Lord with all your heart, and turn ye not aside, for then should ye go after vain things, which cannot profit nor deliver, for they are vain. For the Lord will not forsake his people for his great name's sake, because it hath pleased the Lord to make you his people. Moreover, as for me, God forbid that I should sin against the Lord in ceasing to pray for you, but I will teach you the good and the right way. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. But if ye shall still do wickedly, ye shall be consumed, both ye and your king. Father, again, we thank you for the day that you've given us, and Lord, thank you for the opportunity again this evening to be gathered together. Thank you for the songs we've sung. Father, thank you for the word that we have just read. I pray, Father, you'd minister to our hearts through your word and by the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit would take the word of God as it is his sword, Lord, piercing our hearts, Lord, helping us to see things in our heart that only you can reveal that is contrary to the truth, contrary to your will for our life, and contrary to the way that you want us to live. I pray, Father, that you would guide us into all truth, as I know that you will. I pray, Father, that you would just bless your people in a very great way. And Lord, draw our hearts and our minds unto you. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. The backdrop to 1 Samuel chapter 12 is Samuel is speaking to the people of Israel. They have chosen a king. They have rejected God as their king because they wanted to be like all the other nations, and they wanted to have a man rule over them instead of their God. And God chose Saul to be that king. But in chapter 12, as Samuel talks to the people, he rebukes them because they chose a man instead of God to lead them and to protect them and provide for them. But he tells them, even though you've done this wicked thing in wanting a king, an earthly king, if you will continue to serve God with all your heart, then you will continue to see the blessings of God in your life. God will continue to guide you and lead you. God will bless the king of Israel if you will serve God with all of your heart. Because here, now they've kind of, they put themselves between a rock and a hard place. They have a king, they have an earthly king, who no doubt is going to rule over them. And when you read it, 2 years after King Saul has been the king, he starts taking men of the people to serve him. He starts taking the people, just as God said that he would, taking their sons, taking their daughters to serve him in the palace, to be his bodyguards, to be in the army, all the things that go on with him being a king and all of that. So, I mean, now they've got to serve a king, but God, through Samuel, is warning them, Don't stop serving me, the true King of Kings. Don't allow your heart to be turned away from following God and serving God with all of your heart. And this is what Samuel says in verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. He's trying to encourage and exhort the people of Israel not to forget what God has done for them. Don't get to a place where now that you have a king, an earthly king reigning over you, that you stop serving the King of Kings, the one who brought your fathers out of bondage, the one who led you to the promised land, the one who gave you the land, the one who, even as I look at it, being gracious enough to give them what they want, which is an earthly king, but they will come to find out that's not what they really want. Because God is the greatest king that anyone can have over their life. But as we look at verse 24 tonight, I want us to think about what it means to be a servant of Christ. What does it mean to be a servant of Christ? Because Samuel tells them, fear the Lord and serve him. Serve the Lord in truth with all your heart. So what does it mean to be a servant of Christ? Well, when we think about it, there are two parts to being a servant of the Lord. There are some inward qualities and some outward qualities that define a servant of Christ. Because we can say we are the servants of the Lord, but the outward appearance never shows that. Saul, even though Saul was in the position of a king, he still was supposed to be a servant to the Lord. And Jesus Christ, being the King of Kings, he came and he showed us what it means to be a servant leader. Jesus, who deserves to be served, yet he came to serve man. He said, he said in scriptures, I came not to be ministered unto, but to minister. And Jesus showed a servant's heart by the things he did for his disciples. Number one, the one that we always remember is Jesus washing their feet. The King of Kings taking a towel, girding himself with a towel, taking the basin of water to each of the disciples and washing their feet. Now, he was giving them an example, right, of how they are to treat one another, how they are to serve and humble themselves and not think that they are greater than someone else in the group or someone else in a different city that they come to, but they are to be servants. So when you think about Jesus is the ultimate servant, he is the ultimate example of a servant. Again, Jesus said in Mark 10:45, for even the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. The first thing I want you to think about tonight as far as being a servant of Christ is that there's four inward qualities. And this is something that you have to think to yourself. You have to assess yourself. Do I have these qualities? Because these qualities come through a submission to the Holy Spirit, allowing the Holy Spirit to work on the inside and to change you and me and to help us to be the servants of Christ, because that is what we're called to be, servants of Christ. The first, the first indicator of being a servant of Christ is to be wholeheartedly surrendered to service with all your heart. Notice what he says in verse 24, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Because listen, to serve God is to serve people. God gave the people of Israel what they wanted. They wanted a king. God gave them what they wanted, King Saul. King Saul was supposed to serve God with all of his heart while he served the people. He was not to be a dictator. He became a dictator, but Saul was supposed to be a servant leader. He was supposed to be an example of the coming King of Kings, the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, obviously, David, being chosen by God, he would show the example of a servant leader because he was a man after God's own heart. He was an example of the great shepherd. but having a wholehearted service to the Lord. We are to serve the Lord in truth and with all of our heart. In, I believe it's in Joshua chapter 22, verse 5, he says, "But take diligent heed to do the commandment and the law which Moses, the servant of the Lord, charged you, to love the Lord your God and to walk in all his ways and to keep his commandments and to cleave unto him and to serve him with all your heart and with all your soul." Joshua is told that he is supposed to do exactly what Moses had commanded because God had commanded Moses as well. Again, being that servant, serving Christ, and how we serve Christ is serving others, but it is wholeheartedly. It is really surrendering your entire will to the Lord. That's exactly what Jesus did. Jesus wholeheartedly came and served people to manifest the love of God to his people, to show people. Remember, Jesus, he's the express image of God. No man had seen God at any time, but when Jesus Christ came upon the scene, people saw God manifested through Jesus Christ. Jesus was the express image. He showed compassion. He showed love. He wholeheartedly fulfilled the Father's will, right? And we are to have that wholeheartedness in us that we serve God wholeheartedly. You know what that means? As a parent, it means your kids come first. Their needs come first. And that may mean, as a parent, we go without some need that we want, or we have to put, maybe it's not a need, maybe it's just something we want. Right, Daddy wants a new fishing boat, but I got to put that on the back burner because my kids need clothes and food and shelter, and you know we homeschool, so you know we have to pay for our schooling for our kids. We don't get a tax break for it like people do when they go to the public school, but you know we do pay taxes for where our kids don't go. I'm just saying that, you know, again, as a parent, sometimes what you want to do and the needs that you have, you put it on the back burner to meet the need of your child because you have a desire to meet their needs. You want them to grow. You want them to have what they need. But a wholehearted service to the Lord. Let me just say this. It's not a rebuke to anybody, all right? So don't take it that way. Just because we read our Bible, that's not serving God. Showing up to church is not serving God. That benefits us. That helps us, right? But to wholeheartedly serve God is to serve people and to serve with a heart that, you know what? I want to meet their need. I want to help them advance in their life. I want them to know the love of God, right? So again, it is a sacrifice. But also, when you think about a wholeheartedness, it is being loyal to God. Notice what he says. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart. Though they wanted a king, yet they were being encouraged and challenged that God is to stay number one in your heart. You have a king, but you to serve God above that king. Peter said it this way in the New Testament. We ought to obey God rather than man. We ought to obey God rather than man. Our duty and our loyalty should always be to our God. He should have our entire heart. We wholeheartedly serve the Lord. A servant has one master, and to that one master he is responsible to give all honor and allegiance. Jesus said this in Matthew chapter 6, "No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon," right? God has to be number one in our life. We have to give our entire heart to the Lord. Our heart really will show what is most important to us. Let me just even ask it this way. Who's more important to you, God or yourself? Is God more important or is yourself more important? And it should be God. God should have our entire heart. So we ought to be wholeheartedly surrendered to the Lord, in service to the Lord. But also the second inward quality is loving. We ought to have that loving spirit that Christ displayed. In Titus chapter 2, look at Titus chapter 2 real quick. Titus chapter 2 and verse 14. This inward quality, and just think to yourself. Let me just even challenge you. Don't just sit through the service to sit through the service. Think to yourself, are you wholeheartedly surrendered to God in your entire life, in all areas? Does God have your whole heart? Because you can tell, and we're going to get to it, because the inward quality that we have as a servant of the Lord, it shows on the outside. It shows on the outside. What's on the inside always shows what's on the outside. All right? So in Titus chapter 2 and verse 14, he says, "Who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works." He says, who gave himself. What you do for others, how do you do it? Again, as I use a parent-child relationship, a loving parent gives of themselves for their child. They will sacrifice for their child. They will go without so their child's needs are met. And that's what the Lord does with us. But think about us, again, being servants of Christ. All of us have been called to be servants of Christ. We are to serve others sincerely, in all honesty, with all of our heart, because it displays Christ. It shows the world who Christ is. And Jesus said, "How shall they know that ye are my disciples? By the love that we have for one another." And he wasn't just saying the love that you have for, you know, only Christians and only believers, but the love you have for people. Do you care about other people? Right? Because this love, having this loving quality in us because of Jesus Christ. Look at Galatians chapter 5 and verse 13. And this is very important because we do live in a very selfish society. We live in a very selfish world. It's all about me, me, me. What can I get? What can I do that's going to help me, you know, advance my agenda, my goals? And there's nothing wrong with having agendas and goals for your life, but who are we influencing along the way? Who are we helping along the way? I mean, you probably know of some struggling Christian who's struggling in their faith, right? And they need help. They need encouragement along the way. And, you know, sometimes, and God does lead, and sometimes, you know, someone needs a sharp rebuke. But often they need encouragement because they already feel defeated in their life and they need someone to come along. They need to be able to feel that love, not just hear it, you know, I love you, but they need to feel it coming off that person, that love. Because, I mean, again, when you read the scriptures, you can sense the love of Christ and the compassion of our Savior when he dealt with people. I mean, think about the woman caught in the very act of adultery, brought by the Pharisees into the temple, thrown down at the feet of Jesus, and they say, the law says she must die. But what do you say? I mean, they're wanting to catch Jesus in his words, right? And you just, when you look at that account, he doesn't condemn her. He knows she has sinned. She knows she has sinned. And when he says, "Where are thine accusers?" because of the whole ordeal and everybody leaves that was accusing her, she says, "They're not here." So no man condemns you? No. I don't condemn you either. Go and sin no more. And just when you read it, I mean, you can see, you can sense the love and compassion of Christ. Though somebody was in sin, yet Jesus encouraged them through love not to continue doing that. So Sometimes people do need that love. In Galatians chapter 5, verse 13, the Bible says, "For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty, only use not your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another." Many Christians who misuse that verse, they stop and they do not quote that last part about serving others. They only use the part where, you know, we've been given liberty in Christ. They don't even, the rest of it, just, no, we have liberty in Christ. We can do whatever we want. They mistreat people. They condemn people. They talk bad about people. But Jesus says, don't use your liberty for an occasion to the flesh, you know, to benefit you. Use that liberty we have in Christ to benefit other people, to benefit them with the love of Christ. So we know that Jesus gave himself for us in Titus chapter 2, and then he encourages us in Galatians chapter 5 to serve one another in love. But not only those, not only wholeheartedness, not only are we supposed to have a loving quality as a servant of Christ, but obviously humility. Humility. Now the disciples kind of struggled with that, because on an occasion, there was two disciples that were trying to decide who was going to be the greatest. So all the disciples were trying to figure out who's going to be the greatest. But remember, there were some brothers whose mother came and asked Jesus to let her sons sit on either side of him in his kingdom. And Jesus just lovingly, you know, told the mother that that wasn't up to him, that's up to the Father, right? And it's not about, you know, who's going to be the best and who gets the best seat in the house, but it was about loving God and serving others. Really, that was Jesus' whole ministry. Because even when a lawyer came to Jesus and tempted Jesus and asked him, which is the greatest of all the laws? And Jesus said, to love God with all thine heart, with all thy soul, with all thy strength. And the second is like unto it, loving your neighbor as yourself. Right? He said, all the prophets hang on those two commandments. The law and the prophets hang on those two commandments. Right? Humility. It's not about being better than somebody else. It is about being Christ-like. Humility is shown by gratefulness. A humble servant is a grateful servant. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 28, we're told, "Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear." Again, the mindset. Our mindset is to be everything we do is for the Lord. The Bible tells us, in everything we do, we are to do it heartily as unto the Lord. I have a boss where I work at FedEx, and I do my job the way I'm supposed to do it, to the best of my ability. They're the ones that sign that paycheck, but ultimately, I'm working for the Lord. Because my work ethic will be seen by other people. And like I said, where I work, everybody knows I'm a pastor. So, you know, I'm under a microscope. I mean, they're just looking at me, looking for a reason to say, he says he's a pastor, but he's just like the rest of them, right? But we're not supposed to be like the rest of them. As Christians, we are supposed to be above that. We are supposed to be the hardest workers, the honest workers, the ones who always show up for work, the ones that always do the best job, right? Because that's what God has called us to do, and that's the mindset. And I think sometimes Christians pick and choose where they're going to serve God wholeheartedly. But we're supposed to serve God wholeheartedly in everything we do, because it really shows our gratefulness to the Lord for what he has done for us. And then I want you to think about this. The last kind of inward quality is joy. We kind of talked about joy this morning, right? Rejoicing in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice, but having that joy, the joy because of the Lord. In Psalm 100 and verse 2, we're told, serve the Lord with gladness, come before his presence with singing, right? There are bad days, right? But there still should be some joy in us because of whose side we're on. Because who goes before us? If God be for us, who can be against us? Because of who we are in Christ, we should have that joy. And that, again, we're speaking about being servants. So if I'm serving someone, maybe who isn't grateful for what I'm doing for them. They're not grateful for how I'm helping them. Yeah, the temptation is to get upset. I've been there. I've helped people who haven't been grateful and kind of, you know, bit the hand that was feeding them and helping them. And the Lord has had to remind me and, look, who are you doing it? Are you really doing it for them? Well, yeah, because they need the help. Yeah, but who are you ultimately supposed to be doing it for? The Lord. Because we are serving God by serving people. Because remember, Jesus tells us in the scriptures that whatever we have done to the least of these, we've done it unto him. Whether we have served or whether we haven't. Jesus takes everything that we do personally. Because again, when you're trying to teach a new Christian about serving God, you're trying to help them understand that, you know, you're serving people, which is serving God. Because God is in heaven. Because people ask, well, how can I serve God? I mean, you know, why does God need my tithes and offerings? Why does God need anything from me? Because he's got everything. He owns everything. Well, because it is about us serving God. I mean, how can I show my love and my gratitude to God? I can say, God, I love you, and I do. Just like I tell my wife I love her. But sometimes words are cheap. You can say it all day long. I love you, God. But he wants to see some proof. He wants to see some action, just like my wife wants to see it, not just hear it, right? My kids want to see I really love them, not just by saying it, right? So again, it is about serving God while serving others, but doing it with a right attitude and a good attitude. On a couple different occasions, the disciples didn't have a right attitude about serving people. Two occasions where Jesus fed 4,000 and then he fed 5,000, plus women and children. Both times the disciples are telling Jesus to send the people away. We don't have enough for them. Send them away into the town so they can go and get for themselves. And Jesus, no, you make them sit down. We're going to take care of them. And Jesus had to teach the disciples how to serve people. Even when they didn't think that they could, but relying upon Jesus, and Jesus provided the way, right? They just had to yield their service to the Lord. Someone needed to yield their lunch to the Lord, even though it wasn't much, even though Andrew said, you know, well, here's a lad with two loaves and a few fish, but what is that among so many, right? We can't always look with our eyes and say, well, you know, God can't do anything. It's too much. Because sometimes we don't. Sometimes we don't serve people. We don't even try to help people because we think, well, I don't have anything. Yeah, you do. And yes, I do. The question is, are we going to let God use us? Right? Again, if we never are the servants of Christ, if we never look for opportunities to help somebody else, we will never experience the joy that God has for us in serving people. Because there is something to serving people willingly, joyfully, humbly, and wholeheartedly. I mean, every time I think about a servant, I have this elderly lady come to my mind by the name of Winnie. She lived in Wisconsin, in Madison, Wisconsin. She's with the Lord now. She has been for many years. But I remember just the first time seeing her, barely got one eye open. She's hunched over, you know, just always sat in the very back, in the corner, and just I'll be honest, someone that wasn't desirable to be around, looking through human eyes, okay? Because people judge on appearance. But the sweetest spirit, when I got to know Miss Winnie, man, I just loved seeing her every week. And my family and I got to a point we were able to go to her house and help her. I mean, even though she was elderly, yet she had an adult child who was handicapped that still lived with her. The two of them lived with each other, and it was just always fun to be around them. But she's a sweet spirit. She couldn't do much, but what she did do, and I know I've mentioned this before, but again, if you physically are unable to do physical service for the Lord, you can still do spiritual service for the Lord. She was a prayer warrior. She prayed. But all that, she took it upon herself to keep up with everybody's birthday in that church. And every Sunday, when the service was done, there she would come from the back, just taking her time, birthday cards in her hand, and everybody knew it. If it was your birthday, you knew she was coming for you, and you just kind of stood still, or you kind of, you know, went towards her to kind of fill in the gap, you know. But without fail, she always, 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 and then she'd sign the card, Sunshine Gal. And it got to the end, too, where you couldn't read her writing, right? But it was still a joy to see her up until the day she went to the Lord, keeping up with people's birthdays and just being an encouragement. Nathan, Tyler, and probably Emily as well, remember Miss Winnie. Again, couldn't do much, but she did what she could. And that's the thing. It's not always about doing some work, but it's about bringing a smile into somebody's life, letting someone know that you actually care and you think about them. That's because that inward quality does come out. And very quickly, I want you to think about this. Again, go back, if you would, to 1 Samuel chapter 12. Because we know that what's in the heart does manifest itself on the outside. And in 1 Samuel chapter 12, verse 24, again, only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. So again, what's in the heart is going to come out in our actions or our non-actions. We just don't do it because it's not in my heart. I just don't have a heart to serve people. I don't have a heart to serve God. Again, remember, God takes it personally. How can I serve God? By serving people, helping people with a wholeheartedness, with humility, with joy. And there's two ways that it will manifest on the outside. Number one, that is obedience in our actions. It's always obedience in our actions. Samuel challenges the people, exhorts the people to serve God with all their heart. Fear God and serve him. I mean, with asking for a king, he tells them, you have sinned in asking for a king. When you read the chapter, they agree, we have sinned against God by asking us for a king. They can't change it. But what they can do, and they should do, is wholeheartedly serve God. It should be in their heart. Unfortunately, in Isaiah, God says to the people, with your lips you praise me, but your heart is far from me. Again, it is all about the heart, because if the heart is right with God, our actions will be right as well. Look at very quickly at Colossians chapter 3. Colossians chapter 3. We just don't need to allow ourselves to get into the mindset that this is just religion. That your relationship with God is just religion. There are people who live that way, that go to churches where it's just religion and not a relationship. Now, sad, they are faithful at what they do. They're faithful to attend those type of churches that teach them that you can't trust the word of God. You got to trust what the man is saying. That you got to do this and this and this to make God happy. You got to do this, this, and this to even be accepted into heaven. So we got to be careful that we, as Bible-believing Christians, don't fall into the mindset that this is all religion and I don't have to do anything. No, God's called us to good works, right? God's called us good works. Again, how's anyone going to ask us of the hope that lies within us if they never see it, right? But it is about obedience in our actions to the Lord. In Colossians chapter 3, you look at verse 22 through 24. Servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh. All right, so I mean, we have employers. We need to serve them, right? We're to do what we've been hired to do and what we're being paid to do, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, meaning your heart is all about wanting to honor God in the job that God has allowed you to have, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord and not unto men. Though you have an employer, though you're serving somebody, it is to be about serving God. Because let's just ask ourselves the question. If Jesus Christ appeared, I would go all out for him, right? I mean, if Jesus Christ bodily, physically appeared to you tonight in your home, we would go crazy trying to make sure he's got the best seat, he's comfortable, everything's right, you know, what can I get? I mean, we would just go out of our way because it's the Lord. But we don't always do that with people. Sometimes we do the bare minimum, if even that. Well, you know, if it's the Lord, then absolutely, I will go overboard. In fact, if the Lord asks me to do something, I'll even go 20 extra miles and do more. But for some reason, when it comes to people, we do the bare minimum. We don't think about doing more. We just think about the bare minimum. Or we even throw the excuses out. Well, I don't have any money. I don't have extra food. I'll just pray that God brings somebody to them to help them. That's a lot of times that is the response. But if God brought them into our life, it must be that God wants us to serve them. Even though we think we can't, God wants us to because God will provide. So servants, obey in all things your masters according to the flesh, not with eye service as men pleasers, but in singleness of heart, fearing God. And whatsoever you do, do it heartily as to the Lord. Again, it's not just about a job. So when I mention employer, you don't say, oh, okay, well, I'm retired, I don't have a job, you know. Don't stop there. I mean, you do have a job. What do you do every day? Where do you go, right? There are people involved in your life. Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ. Though I'm working for somebody, God's telling me I'm serving Christ. And that has to be the mindset and the heart that everything I do, whether I'm serving my wife, my children, the church, my employer at FedEx, everything that is associated with my life, with people, I am to serve as though I'm serving Christ. And again, if the Lord was physically, bodily here, man, I would go overboard. I would bend over backwards. I would give him the clothes off my back. I mean, right? I mean, because that's the Lord. And that's exactly how he wants us to be with each other and with people, having that servant mindset. Our Lord came not to be ministered to, but to minister. And that is what he gives us to do as well. So the two outward qualities, number one, obedient in our actions, being Christ-like. But number two, faithful in our responsibilities. We all have a responsibility that God's given us, and he wants us to be faithful. And again, if the inside is right, the outside will follow. If the inside is right, our heart is right with the Lord, and what we want to do, we are sold out for the Lord. I want wholeheartedly for the Lord, humble before the Lord, joyful in the Lord. Then it appears on the outside, again, more genuinely. Because really, anyone can serve. Anybody can help anybody. They do it all the time. Now, Jesus speaking about, you know, the Father giving of the Holy Spirit, but he does use the analogy, you know, when he's talking to the people, which one of you, being a sinner, won't give their son bread? He tells them, you know, would you give your son, you know, a scorpion instead of bread? And he goes on, he says, you know, if you will give good things to your people, to your sons, how much more the Heavenly Father will give of the Holy Spirit, right? But just even think about the things that Jesus says. Anybody can do good for somebody else. But it means more when we do it in the Spirit of Christ. When our heart truly is full of love and grace and humility and joy because of what God has done for us. Again, go back very quickly to 1 Samuel chapter 12. And this is exactly what Samuel wanted the people to be reminded of and to remind themselves of. Only fear the Lord and serve him in truth with all your heart, for consider how great things he hath done for you. So always we have to remind ourselves what God's done for us. And you know what? If God has shown me a need in someone else's life, someone that needs encouragement along life's journey, some Christian needs lifting up, then we have to ask the Lord, Lord, help me to help them. Because you've done so much for me. Faithful in responsibilities. 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2 says, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. What has God given us as stewards? The Bible says we are stewards of his grace. He has extended grace to us, and we are to steward God's grace in our life by being gracious to others. Faithfulness is required in the responsibilities that God has given us. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 10, but why dost thou judge thy brother? Or why dost thou set at naught thy brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Again, we're supposed to be faithful in reconciling people to Christ. Again, sometimes people want to disown their children, disown a relative that has done them wrong. God's the judge. And he's the judge that will always do right. It might just be you are the only one that can reach that person. Because they are a part of your life, not my life. I don't know who they are. But you do, and there's people in my life as well. I'm just saying, what's on the inside directs our life on the outside. If I truly have a love for God and I'm truly wholeheartedly surrendered to the Lord, I'm going to have love and compassion for other people, even for my enemies, because I know what's at the end of their life if they never accept Christ as their Savior. Again, I might be the only one that can reach them. But, you know, if I'm always acting like them, if I'm, you know, if I'm just being crude and mean to them and not caring about them, then they have no reason to ever listen to anything I say or to even think that I genuinely care for them. Again, I want to remind all of us, our life is not our own. We've been bought with a price. And God has called each of us to be servants of the Lord. And to be servants of the Lord is to serve people, is to help people. Yes, give them things they need, but the ultimate thing they need is Jesus Christ. That's the ultimate thing. Let's ask ourselves individually, in your mind, think to yourself, when was the last time you cared enough about somebody that you told them about Christ and you even invited them to church? It doesn't matter what their lifestyle is. What matters is they come to know Christ as their Savior. Jesus will change them, right? Church is not just for the elect and those that can, you know, dress up. Church is a hospital for sinners. Now, we gather together as saints to be able to worship together, but I think you understand what I'm saying. We have to be the servants of Christ that he's called us to be, and that is serving people to bring people to the Lord, to show them the love, the compassion of Christ, so that they see a reason. Ah, now I know why you have such hope and peace in your life, because you truly serve your master and your king, the Lord Jesus Christ.